As we begin, can I ask, who here likes mince pies? Put up your hand if you like mince pies, okay? Fantastic. Who here doesn't like mince pies? Oh, okay, fine, right, okay. Well, that's handy to know, because tonight, after our carol service, we've got lots and lots of mince pies, as well as some other festive treats as well. But we've got a bit of a dilemma on our hands, because we can't decide which mince pies are best, okay? According to the rather appropriately titled Delicious magazine, when it comes to the supermarkets out there, there are two supermarkets that are up there. First of all, there's Marks and Spencer's, and then there's Morrison's. So which is it? Well, I've devised a little taste test this morning for us to see and find out, okay? So we've got our mince pies here. All I need is a willing victim. Okay, sorry, I mean volunteer this morning. So, let's have a think, let's have a look out here. I wonder, Wesley. Oh. Up you come. Now Wesley, come and sit on this seat for us so everyone can see. Okay. Okay, now Wesley, we have to do a bit of health and safety, first of all, this morning, okay? Are you allergic to nuts?
No.
Okay, are you, I don't know, gluten-free?
Absolutely not.
Okay, you're not vegetarian, vegan, or pescatarian? No, okay, you're perfectly normal. Okay, great. Do you like mince pies?
No.
No?
But I'm willing to give it a go.
You're willing to give it a go. Well, that's great, because your taste buds won't have been tainted by any other mince pies, all right? Now, it's not that I don't trust you. Okay, but we've got a bit of a blindfold here, okay? It's the only one big enough I could find. Not saying anything about that. Right. Okay, is that tight enough? Can you see? Yes, okay. Well,
I can hold it.
You can hold it, fantastic. How many fingers am I holding up? You don't know. Great. That is the purpose of the exercise. Right. Okay. So we will start with this one. Now, don't tell Wesley what these ones are, okay? But it's the... Okay. Nice packaging. Don't tell him which one it is. Now, we're going to need a bit of a plate because we don't want to make too much of a mess up here, do we? Okay, Wesley. Now, hold with one hand holding that, with another hand holding the mince pie. Here we go. Just take a bite. I'll hold the plate underneath.
Smell it first.
Okay. Yep. Smell it. Savour the mince meat as you taste it.
Oh.
Okay, you've had a good bite of that. Okay, put it down again. Do you want a drink of water in between?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, okay, just to refresh the taste buds there. Try not to spit any in there because I'm going to need that later. Okay, so that was mince pie A, okay? Mince pie number one. This is... Here we go. And this is mince pie... Number two, okay, mince pie B. Right. There we go. Other hand.
I'm gonna smell it again.
Ambidextrous. Mm. Okay. Okay. Another slurp of water for you just to wash that down, that dry pastry. Okay, so you've tasted both of them now. We're going to find out which one is the best mince pie. Is it A or is it B? But I think we need a bit of a drum roll. Could we have a bit of a drum roll over there? Before we find out, okay? Here we go.
It was...
Just a minute.
B.
B! That means that Morrison's are the best mince pies, according to someone who doesn't like mince pies, okay? Fantastic. So, actually, it's not worth paying the extra 50p for the Marks and Spencer's one. The Morrison ones are better. Thank you very much, Wesley. You can go and sit down now. Okay, so there it is. Someone who absolutely hates mince pies says that the Morrison ones are the better one. Who would have thought that? Well, the Christmas, it's a wonderful time, isn't it, of the year where we can indulge our various senses with all of the lovely food that's around us, whether it be mince pies or Christmas pudding or turkey or those pigs in blankets, those kind of things, all sorts of different food, even sprouts. Christmas is so good, isn't it, that we can sometimes struggle to take it all in, can't we? And in fact, the very first Christmas, it was exactly the same. It was an absolute sensory overload with bright lights, angelic voices, and a baby king to hold. And so this morning, using our different senses, we're going to taste and see, we're going to hear and feel that the Lord is good. And so to help us do that, to begin with, we're going to start by standing and singing our first Christmas carol, See Him Lying on a Bed of Straw. Okay, well, we've already tasted a little bit of Christmas, haven't we? But what does Christmas actually look like? I don't know about you, but I know that Christmas is always just around the corner when people begin to hang lights outside of their houses. Maybe trees are lit up, maybe inside or outside, and there's all sorts of different colour and light displays going on up and down the street, isn't there? It looks absolutely beautiful, doesn't it, at this time of year, different coloured lighting all around us. And if you haven't seen any of that yet, then here are a few displays just to get you in the mood, okay? First of all, this house, I think up in somewhere in like Huddersfield, okay, with a bit of a display there out the front. Then this other one, a whole street full up of lights. Maybe that looks a little bit like your street, I don't know, here in Norwich. Well, what about that one? Wow, that's nice and colourful, isn't it? I reckon maybe a unicorn-inspired Christmas display there or something like that. And then lastly, look at that. Wow. I assure you there is a house underneath all of those lights, okay? In fact, I reckon that these guys, they took their inspiration from the very first Christmas, because when God came to earth, when he was born as a baby, the heavens, they put on the most amazing light show ever. It was even better than this particular light show. Let's just read what happened there in Luke chapter 2. Can we all read these words together? It says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." This was the ultimate Christmas illumination. Just imagine the scene. There they were, a group of shepherds with their sheep sitting there on the hillside looking after them, minding their own business. Perhaps they had a little fire there just to keep them warm. And then suddenly, in the middle of the night, when it's absolutely pitch black, all of a sudden, out of this darkness, an angel of the Lord appears, and the glory of the Lord, it shines all around them. And they were absolutely terrified. These guys look really scared, don't they? Can you imagine such a thing? I mean, we tend to think of angels and Christmas going together a bit like cranberry sauce and roast turkey, don't we? But seeing an angel, as you and I know, it's not an everyday experience, is it? This angel was so terrifying and the light was so bright that no power station could have powered it. A bit like the sun makes a light bulb look a bit dull, so God's glory, it makes the sun look like a little torch in our hands. But just listen to what the angel said next. Again, let's read this together. "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.'" Into the midst of this dark and broken world, this angel, bathed in incredible light, delivers this fantastic news of great joy for all the people that a Saviour has been born there in the town of David. Where was the town of David? What was it called? What was it known as? Bethlehem, that's right. Bethlehem, there he was. There was light, there was action. But before we consider what happened next, we're going to stand and we're going to sing again. So let's stand and sing, "O Come All Ye Faithful." Well, you really know, don't you, that it's Christmas when you sing, "O Come, All Ye Faithful." It always makes me smile every time we sing that particular Christmas carol, because there at the end of each verse is that chorus, isn't it? "O come, let us adore him." And we sing those words, don't we, quietly at first, as though we don't want anyone to hear. And then we sing it slightly louder, as though we've gained a little bit more confidence and now we know what we're singing. And then finally, we sing it like we're standing at the football ground, don't we? Bellowing it out with all of our might, with Christ is the Lord stuck there on the end. It's always great, isn't it, to be able to sing together at Christmas with lots of people standing around us, if you're anything like me, drowning us out. And of course, that's what makes carol services so popular at this time of year. But did you know that the ultimate Christmas sing-along took place on that very first Christmas? Just listen to what happened. Having seen this great light and heard the angels say those words that we just read a few moments ago, in Luke chapter 2, we're then told this. Let's say these words together. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on peace, in his favor rests." I'm glad you managed to keep up there. There were lights, there was action, and now there was singing as God announced the good news of the Saviour's birth to a bunch of scruffy shepherds there on the hillside. And the very fact that they are the very first people that heard this news helps us to realise that this good news is really for anybody and everybody. These shepherds, they were the lowest of the low in terms of their status in life. They wouldn't have been able to have voted in a general election. They weren't to be trusted, people thought to themselves. They were the very last people that would find out about anything. But now, with the best news that we could ever have heard in our lives, they are the very first people to hear it, because that is how God works. You see, he didn't come for those who think they can take care of themselves. He came for those who know that they are in need of a Saviour. I mean, we might think to ourselves, well, you know what, I'm kind of doing all right in life. But the truth is that those wrong things we do, our rejection of God and us wanting to do our own thing in our lives without him, those things that are called sin, they separate us from our Creator. We are separated from God, our Creator. And God, our Creator, and God knows that we cannot bridge that gap ourselves. God is so holy, and we are so not, that we could never hope to restore that relationship ourselves. The truth is that we need help. And so realizing this, God, who really wants that personal relationship restored with you and I, he sent his son to live a perfect life and to die a sinner's death, so that by turning from our own sin and trusting in him, we might be able to receive that forgiveness and be able to be saved. Once again, in sending these angels to these lowly shepherds out there in the fields, by sending that angel to announce this great news to them, God is sending a message out to each and every one of us, telling us that salvation is available to all. Jesus is a Saviour for everyone, and we can all be friends with God again. You know, very often at Christmas, we say, don't we, well, Christmas, it's just for the kids, really, isn't it? That's what it's really about. Well, no, it's not. The Bible says that it's for every man, woman, and child. It's for every single one of us. And because it's such great news, the finest gospel choir in the universe get their groove on and they begin to sing, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." And because Jesus came when he did, we also have something to sing about, don't we? So let's stand and do that again as we sing, "It Was on a Starry Night." Let's stand again. Okay, well, we have tasted, we've seen, and we've heard about Christmas this morning. And now we're going to try and touch it, okay? But first, I've got a bit of a Christmas challenge here. Now, I need 6 volunteers. You all need to be over the age of about 5, I think. So let's have Ellie. Yep, Alicia. Do you want to come up the front? Yep, Peter. And Melissa. And, yes, Anna. Great, okay? Right, now, in this bag I have a lot of different stockings, okay? Bring that slide on. So I'm going to hand you each a stocking, okay? I don't want you to look in it, just hold it up. There we go. And I need you to describe what is in the stocking, okay? So you can, in a moment, you can put your hand in one at a time and see what is in the stocking, okay? Right. This is my stocking at the end here, all right? This is the one I'm going to put out for Christmas Day. Right, okay, if you can all line up along the front so everyone can see you. Ellie, do you want to come at the end here? You can have this one, we'll save the best till last. All right, now, Anna, what you have to do is you put your hand in there, don't look in there, and can you describe what is in there? What does it feel like? Can you feel what it's made out of, perhaps? What do you reckon? What does it feel like? It's hard, okay, any ideas? No? Okay, what kind of material do you think it's made out of? Is it plastic? Is it some kind of fabric, soft? Like paper, okay. Anybody got any ideas what it might be? It is something to do with Christmas. It's like paper, it's hard. Sounds like hard. A what? A card, a Christmas card. Do you think that's what it is? No. No, no, it's not. Remember that one for later. Okay. What kind of shape is it? It's a circle, all right? You only get these at Christmas, although I think they should bring them out at Easter as well. An orange down here, it is possibly some kind of chocolate. Chocolate orange, what do you think it is? Chocolate coins. Let's see if you're right, Anna. Yay, well done. Fantastic. You can go and sit back down. Right, okay, Alicia. Yeah, you can take those with you. Share them with everyone later, though. So I think that's the only chocolate that we've got. So what do you reckon, Alicia?
It's sort of squishy.
Yeah,
one end is squishy, but the other end is, hard.
At the other end, it's hard. One end, it's squishy. What do we reckon? Any ideas? What kind of shape is it, or is it all a little bit... Oh, right. Where do you think you'd find it? Do you know what it is? You think you know what it is? You think it's an elf. Okay, should we have a look in there? Yes, it's the elf on the shelf. That's where we got to this morning after putting toilet roll all over our house. Okay, right, next. What's in there, do you reckon? Try and describe it first of all, see if anyone else can. What is it, hard or soft? It's hard. What kind of shape is it? A square. What do you reckon it might be? A Christmas card. Shall we see? Hey, well done. Fantastic. Right, what have we got in here?
I already know what mine is. But
oh, right, okay. You describe it to us.
It feels like sandpaper.
Feels like sandpaper?
It's.
What kind of shape is it?
Star. Okay,
what do you think it is, everybody? A star, should we find out?
It's the thing you put on the Christmas tree, on top of the Christmas tree, I think.
Oh dear, these stockings. Hey, with a bit of twinkle dust as well, fantastic. Thank you, Melissa. Right, what's in here?
It's...
Is it soft or hard?
It's kind of ticklish.
Ticklish, okay. Right, and where do you think you might find it?
On a Christmas tree.
Okay, on a Christmas tree. It's tickly and you find it on a Christmas tree. What could it be? Tinsel. Are they right? Well done. Fantastic. Good job. Okay. Oh, is it? Okay, well, maybe I'll have it back later. I'll have that star back later as well because it's got to go on our... Ah, right, great. I need all those bits and pieces for my Christmas tree. Thank you. Right, okay. Could I go down to the bottom of this one? All right, Ellie, do you want to put your hand in there and try and describe what it is without telling us what it is? You can't reach. It's got to fit all my presents in at Christmas, you see. Okay. Now, is it hard or soft?
Soft and
hard. Soft and hard. Okay, that helps. Kind of shape? Where do you reckon you might find it? You don't know. Okay. Anybody got any ideas what this could be? I'll tell you, you might find it in a cot. A baby. Yay, there it is. A little baby. Thank you, Ellie. Great. Okay. So there it is. We have a baby, which was what the shepherds found, isn't it? And what they went in search of there in Luke chapter 2. And we're told there this. Shall we read this together? When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see that thing that happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying there in a manger. You know what it's like as a kid when Christmas Day finally arrives and you hurry off, don't you, into the lounge and you go to the Christmas tree and you find all of those presents under the Christmas tree there. And you search frantically, don't you, for those presents that have got your name on it. Perhaps you even set them aside and pile them up next to the tree. And then you begin to rip off the wrapping paper, don't you, to see what's inside. And there is the gift that you've finally been waiting for. You have your hands on it. You're finally able to touch it. And it's all yours. Well, that's exactly what those shepherds must have felt like, having been told where Jesus was. We're told that they hurried off to find the baby there, laid in a manger. And as these rough working men and their hands reach out across that scratchy straw to touch the baby's little head, they realize that he's finally here. The one that they'd all been waiting for. The one who had been promised hundreds and hundreds of years before was now laying there before them. God had finally sent them a Saviour, his very own son, wrapped there in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. And you know what? Because of that, the waiting is also over for us, isn't it? Because Jesus has come, we also have a Saviour. We have a King that we can come to and worship and adore that is alive and lives forevermore. And because of that, because he has come to us, we can worship him. The question for us is, have we come to him yet? Have we knelt and felt? Have we come close to Christ? Have we placed our faith and our trust in him yet? Well, before we take a look at the final installment of this particular story, we're going to stand and sing once more, "Jesus, Joy of the Highest Heaven." Okay, well, finally, you know it's Christmas, don't you, when English people start talking to absolute strangers. I mean, 364 days of the year, if it's not a leap year, we make it our ambition, don't we, as a nation, to avoid talking to one another. We completely avoid any kind of eye contact when we walk past one another in the street. And yet, on Christmas Day, all of that changes, doesn't it? And we find ourselves nodding and smiling to people that we've never ever laid eyes on before. If you don't believe me, just go for a walk on Christmas Day and see what happens. We sometimes even find ourselves striking up conversations with complete strangers, people we don't even know. It's a wonderfully strange phenomenon at this time of year. Well, you know, that's exactly what happened on that very first Christmas too. This was the ultimate in talking to complete strangers. And the shepherds didn't just wish people a happy Christmas. Just listen to what they said. Let's read this together. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. After everything that they'd seen and heard and touched, it's amazing, isn't it, what they went on to talk about. They didn't go on to talk about the angels up there in the sky. They didn't talk about the blinding light that had nearly knocked them off their feet. They didn't even talk about the bizarre choice of cot that they'd found the baby in. All they wanted to talk about, as we see here, is about who the baby is, about what they've been told about this child. That Jesus is the promised Messiah, the Saviour of the world, the Lord of heaven, in human flesh, come to earth as a baby. Now, I'm sure if we ever got the chance to hold a baby prince in our arms, a future king, maybe. Who's this in the picture? Princess William, Prince William and Princess Kate. And who's the baby? George, baby George, okay? If we ever got the chance to hold baby George in our arms, then we want to share that with everyone we met, wouldn't we? In fact, we do our very best to let everybody know about it. I'm sure that we'd soon be getting on Instagram, having taken a selfie of ourselves with them, or perhaps on Facebook or some other kind of social media, just trying to let everybody know that we've met this future king. But just think if you got the chance to hold your own creator in your arms. If you'd shared a room with the very one that was born with the sole purpose of saving you for heaven, to enjoy peace with God forevermore. If you got that chance, then you can quite easily see why these shepherds would interrupt anyone that they could find on that particular day and share this incredible news with them. And if we, like the shepherds, know for sure who this baby is, then we, like them, will never ever be the same again. So this Christmas, if we already know Jesus to be our Lord and Saviour, let's not be ashamed to share the news, the wonderfully good news that a Saviour has been born, that He is real. And if He's as real to us as He was to the shepherds there on that hillside all of those years ago, then, you know, we won't be able to stop talking about Him, will we? And thanking God for that Saviour that He has sent.